Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Life on the Film Set podcast. My name is Nick Payne, and this is...
I'm George Arton.
This is George Arton, a very good friend of mine. And this is a podcast about...
How to work on a film set.
And?
And how to get better at it.
How to be great at it. How to manage complex relationships, how to become part of a team and
work together.
Work together and do great things. Cool. So this is our third episode, other than our introduction.
Yes.
And today on the table.
The camera we have.
So we've got the Geniflex, which is a...
film camera.
Film camera. Made in the German Democratic Republic, i.e. in East Germany before the fall of the Berlin Wall.
Wow.
And in the early 1980s. So I found that on the shelf of a photography shop.
It's an interchangeable lens as well?
Yep.
Oh, lovely.
So that's got a very beautiful 20mm lens on it, Carl Zeiss Jena lens.
Beautiful.
So I've got a small set of those that I adapt to cinema cameras as well. They're very cool. So that goes back on the table. I was saying I found that on the shelf of a shop in a country Queensland town.
What?
brand new, been sitting there for like 20 years.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, bought it straight off the shelf.
Nice. And it's still in working condition?
No, it's not working
anymore. Ah, okay, nothing. Okay.
It's the shutter speed is not adjusting.
Okay.
And my worry is that there's some corrosion on the circuit board and you just can't get parts.
Copy that.
So if you can find another one.
Then you can just replace the parts.
Then you can use that as a donor.
Of course.
But it's not what we're here for.
No.
Let's move on. So let me recap what we've covered so far.
Yes.
In episode one, we talked about leading and following.
That's right.
And we talked particularly about the idea of using intent as a way of doing that.
Yes.
So going, as a leader, this is the outcome I intend to achieve.
Yep.
And then as a follower, having heard that, you go, cool, having heard that, therefore my intent is I'm going to do X, Y, and Z to help you achieve that. And then as a leader, you go, great, that sounds good, go for it. If you haven't listened to that episode, do, because it's good. And then in the last episode, we talked about the flow of work.
That's right.
So a technique to kind of understand how the work of different departments connect together and to use that information to try and optimize the flow of work from department to department so that you can keep moving and not have people sitting around, twiddling their thumbs
doing nothing.
Because they're waiting. And so, so that's pretty cool stuff too. Now, at the end of that episode, I said that the next episode we'd talk about estimation. But we're not going to. Let's do that next episode.
Sure.
What I'd really like to talk about this episode is innovation.
Innovation. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. How do you create an environment where innovation occurs?
Yeah.
To start us off, I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah, sure, please.
Which is to tell us about a set that you were on recently.
Yes.
For a children's television show.
American.
Yeah.
Yes. That was a crazy. It was a 6-day shoot.
Yep.
And we were doing 50 pages a day.
50 pages a day. Yes. That's incredible.
So, like, basically, it was no quality, just quantity.
Yep.
Because it's a kid show. It's, like, very basic.
Yep.
Because a lot of young kids, you can't, control as much. Because they're always moving.
Yeah,
so fidgeting. The director was fantastic. He knew exactly how to, what shots he wanted.
Yeah.
And then we did a lot of plates.
Okay.
So it's like, especially the, say, 4 or 5-year-old kids.
Okay.
So we did just plates. So he did his line.
Yep.
And then the second kid, he did her line, for example.
And then
they will put them in,
together in post.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we did a lot of that. And then in our side, we had like very small lighting package. Like we used just tubes.
Okay.
Like NAND light tubes.
Yeah.
MCs.
Yeah.
Only like 2 days we used the 600.
Yeah.
Because we were in a school.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, like otherwise it's just very small like lighting, just. Yeah, bam, it was bam, 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 just very quick.
There you go. So let me ask you the question. Were these guys good at what they did?
Absolutely. The director was fantastic. He knew how to cut, like, what's the After Effects is going to be, like, special effects.
Yeah.
All of that, you know.
Yeah.
He knew exactly in his head.
Okay.
It will work. He's like, let's move on. Like max was 2 takes.
Yeah, wow.
Sorry, max was like 3 takes max.
Okay.
1 take, 2 take, done.
Yeah,
next.
Boom.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. Okay, cool. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, it was very quick, fast. The last day of that shoot,
yeah.
65 pages.
Holy moly, that's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane. Okay, let me ask you about another film that neither of us worked on.
Yes.
Yes. Unfortunately, would love to have.
We would love to, yeah.
But we've both seen the film.
I haven't, sorry.
Oh, you haven't?
I haven't. I heard of it, but I haven't.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
So I'm talking about Oppenheimer.
Okay.
Right. So you haven't seen Oppenheimer?
I heard a lot of good things about it, of course.
So if the TV, if this kids program was shooting 50 pages a day, how many pages a day do you think Christopher Nolan was shooting on Oppenheimer?
I would say maybe 3-4 pages.
Okay.
Depends on what the scale of that scenes are.
Yeah, of course.
Like if it's a lot of action involved. I'm not sure. I haven't seen it. Like how much was like action-y or things.
Yeah.
Like scenes in that Oppenheimer, but I would say 3-4 pages.
Yep, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there is lots of, I mean, there is lots of dialogue.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of special effects.
Yes.
Which were done practically
on
camera.
Yeah.
We were also at the Australian Cinematographers Society headquarters in Sydney here last week.
Yes, we were, yep.
And there was a top of the game first AC there.
Yes.
Who was talking about working on The Matrix.
Yeah.
And talking about the scene where they're in the foyer of a building, they come in, so they go, we need guns, lots of guns.
Yes.
And then they go into the foyer of this building and there's security there and they start going, and there's like squibs on the wall blowing up and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Do you remember how long he said it took them to shoot that?
I think it took them about 3.5 weeks.
3.5 weeks, yeah.
For three and a half minutes or 4 minutes, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah. So if you ask them the question, how many pages a day were you shooting?
It was like one page.
It was one page a week.
Week, yeah.
So it was like 1/7 or 1/5 of a page
exactly.
a day. Yeah.
Basically, that's just like it's a one scene. So scene is a one page.
Yep.
So like basically it's a one page.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And for 3.5 weeks.
3.5 weeks to get that 3 minutes of screen time.
Action, gun, scene, you know.
And it looks amazing.
Absolutely.
Like it's also a great moment in the film. Like it's a good beat.
It's one of the best scenes in that gunfight, you know.
It's not just gratuitous.
Yeah.
It's part of the story. So I'll tell you why I ask you those questions. So what I want to do is to introduce this idea that everything we do, everything we do in film and, you know, and really every endeavor of life occurs on a spectrum.
Yeah.
And one end of the spectrum is speed.
Yep.
And the other end of the spectrum is innovation
and
creativity, doing something new. And you can be at this end of the spectrum, which is about speed, and you can be really, really good at that, right? You can create a whole lot of value by being able to do things fast and generate quantity. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. You can also be at the other end of the spectrum, the innovation end, as I like to call it, and be concentrating on what you might call quality.
Yes.
And produce a lot less volume.
Yes.
but produce a different type of value.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Like, say, the kid show, they're not going to get nominated for Oscar.
No.
No. But Oppenheimer, it is.
Yeah.
And then they have nominated. Yeah. So that's the difference.
That is the difference. But
and then, yeah.
But the kid show are going to make a lot of money.
Oh, absolutely. Because kids will love it.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. And it's a, yeah. Yeah. What's the name? It's a metaverse, you know, story.
Okay. Yeah.
So nice. They have powers, like kind of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Style of TV show.
Yeah. Know? Cool.
Kids have powers.
Yeah. You know? So I guess the thing that I want to be really clear about here is that the both ends of those spectrums are about greatness, being really, really good at what you do, and it is okay to be at the quantity end.
Yes.
Right? You can create a lot of value,
yep.
Which is realized in money. You know, yes. we created a lot of content. We sold a lot of content, cheaply. We made it cheaply. We sold it cheaply. Yes. But because we made so much, we made a lot of money out of that. That is, like, that's greatness. That is a form of greatness, and it is a form of value.
Yes.
People can make a living out of that. At the innovation end, you is also about greatness and also about creating a lot of value, but it's a different type of value.
Value, exactly.
The one place you don't want to be...
In the middle.
Is in the middle, yes. Yeah. Because the middle is, well, we're not particularly fast and what we create is not particularly innovative or interesting.
Just the basic.
Yeah, just the basic. So if I was to ask you, you know, I mean, you've worked at that quantity end.
Yep.
Like, if you had a preference of which end you'd like to be at.
For experience, I would love to be on the other side, like Oppenheimer
level
of production, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
In camera department.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess the other frame here is if you go in 50 years' time,
yes,
what's going to be remembered? Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer, of course.
Without a question.
Without a question, yes.
And so, yeah, so I guess the point that I want to make here is I think so often, you know, particularly in Australia where budgets are constrained, we kind of get caught between these two extremes.
Mm.
And we want to be kind of up here in the innovation space.
Yes.
But we are, oh, there's not enough money. We need to move fast. But we're not at the other end where we're really, really good at moving fast.
And that's one of the reasons then you have to compromise a lot of things.
Yeah.
Because of money or constraint, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, so you can't do the innovative things because of that.
Hmm.
So you just got to push through it.
Yeah.
And whatever is there is, like, just to get it and then...
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So
and often the, you know, whether something is of good quality is, like, is about, like, is the script any good? Like,
yes.
Is the underlying
That's
idea
right. It comes to the script, yes.
Good rather than is the execution of the script good? Mm. It's about not screwing up the script, like not destroying it, but it's not necessarily about how do we take a great script and make it even better by combining it with great performances, great visuals, great effects, great art, everything. So I guess where that leads me is how do you, you know, so if you're looking at that spectrum, and this is the very first point I want to make.
Yeah.
Like you're planning a production and I don't know whether you're producer, line producer, whatever. You're planning the production.
Yep.
I think the very first thing you need to do is to be aware that the spectrum exists and decide where you want to be.
Yeah.
Right, to go, is this about just quantity?
Pushing through,
Or is this about innovation?
Yes.
If you decide that this is about innovation, then the question is, what can I do to create an environment where innovation can occur?
Yep.
And so that's what I want to talk about today.
Sure.
Fundamentally, there are two two things, and I'm going to look at my notes right now.
Yeah, sure. Please do. Please do.
Which means putting my glasses on as well.
Oh, that's all right. It's fine.
Yeah. Of course, we've asked. You know, you ask the question yourself, where do you want to be, and you go. So there are two two things.
Mm-hmm.
Two things you need to grapple with and provide for if you want to create an environment where innovation occurs, and where you want to take, you know, this is, we're making this production, we want to innovate so that the quality of what we deliver is really groundbreaking and grabs people's attention, and therefore we maximize the amount of dollar return we get on this, because people are like, you've got to see this thing.
Yep.
It is.
It's very good.
It's incredible. It's, you know, it, like, you know, Oppenheimer, I don't know what the budget for that was.
I'm sure like 200 something million.
Hundreds of millions of dollars. It's
Christopher Nolan director. Easily 200 something.
But the year before, what was the standout film? Everything.
Everywhere at once. Yeah.
All at once.
That's right. That was amazing.
Much smaller budget.
Yes.
But yet they achieved a similar level of innovation on a smaller budget.
Yeah.
So here is the first thing that you need to do in thinking about how do we create innovation. First thing is you need to realize and you need to account for in your planning that in the only way that innovation can occur is through failure.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'll tell you what I mean, and I'll do a bit of a roundabout explanation.
Sure, please. Yeah,
probably gotten used to by now. So there's this Welsh guy called Dave Snowden, who's a really super super smart dude, and he has this framework which he calls the Kinefin framework. Kinefin is a Welsh word meaning habitat.
Okay.
And if I really quickly kind of describe what it looks like, because there's this diagram for it.
Yep.
And if you imagine you've got a square that is broken up into four quadrants, and you start on the bottom right and you go around anti-clockwise. So you go bottom right, top right, top left, bottom left. So in the bottom right, the quadrant is called the clear quadrant. And what that is that is the type of work that has been done before and it's really obvious how to do that work.
Yep.
So this has been done before. There is best practice. We know how to do this.
Yes.
Let's just get on and do this. And that's like, that's your quantity.
Yeah.
Area where you guys is about, man, let's pump this shit out.
Yeah.
So we know how to do
this. We know how to do it. Yeah, exactly.
And all we need to concentrate on is just being really, really good at producing this. We're not necessarily creating anything that anybody else has done before. But
just the basics, you know, or the standards.
It's known. Say. Yeah, it's standard. Standard,
not the
basics,
but the standards. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a known.
Standard requirements.
Yeah.
This
is a known quantity.
Yeah.
You know, call centers are a great example of that they operate in that realm because you call up and they go, yep, I know exactly how to do this.
Exactly.
I've got a document that goes step one, step two, step three, and they go,
done. It's like, for example, say if you bring the kit show, it's the standard, like wide shot, mid shot, close-ups.
Yeah.
That was standard. That's it. That was the shots, you know, we were doing. It's like because we know exactly what to, okay, camera, set up, done.
Yeah.
You know? And then next,
boom,
next.
Boom, boom.
Because there is no like crane shots or specific shots or like one takes or nothing like that. It's just very standard basic shots, you know.
Yeah. You go, we know how to do.
Exactly.
We can do this quickly.
That's right.
So you then go up to the, so you're moving anti-clockwise, so you're up to top right.
Yep.
And that quadrant is called the complicated quadrant. And that is for stuff where you as a organization, let's say, or a production go, oh, we've never done this before.
Mm.
But other people have done it.
Yes.
All right. So it's known, but it's not known to us.
Yes.
And so that is the realm of experts.
Yep.
Where you go, oh, cool, we need to do some underwater shots.
Mm.
Therefore, I'm going to bring in a underwater cinematographer for a week's worth of work to help us do this thing that we've never done before.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
So, yeah. You know, so you're being a little bit more creative than you are in the clear domain.
Yeah.
So you're doing some fancier stuff.
Yeah.
But you're still doing stuff that other people have done before.
Yeah.
It's not really new. It's not really innovative.
Exactly.
So then you move, keep going anti-clockwise, and you go across to top left. And that quadrant is called the complex quadrant, right? And that quadrant is, we've got something we want to do and nobody's done it before.
Yeah.
And so we are going to try and do it.
Yeah.
All right, so this is the space of innovation. We're doing things new. And this is the realm of what we call safe to fail experiments.
Yep.
So you go, I don't know how to do this, but I've got an idea of how we might be able to do this. So you, or you have a hypothesis.
That's right.
As you would say if in science. And you go, okay, cool. So let's design an experiment that we can run to test this hypothesis.
Yes.
So, you know, what's a crazy thing you might want to do? Drop a, you know, have a camera come through a skylight.
Yes.
Orson Welles style.
Oh, yeah.
In Citizen Kane, where the camera comes up and goes through a, like a big neon sign, and then
drops down.
Yeah, but it gets to the skylight, and they didn't have the means to travel through the skylight.
Oh, right.
So it fades from one shot into a next shot.
Okay.
Whereas nowadays we go, ooh, maybe there is a way.
Yeah,
we can do this. So you go, what's an experiment I can run that allows me to test whether that's possible?
Yes.
And the idea is, because you don't know here, your expectation is, we're going to try something and it's probably going to fail.
Yeah, because still we don't know.
Because we don't know, yeah. And so you try it, you fail, and having failed, that failure creates a feedback loop.
Exactly.
Which allows you to go, ah, okay, well, that didn't work because of X.
Yep.
So maybe if we try this other thing, maybe that will work. Yeah. And so the failure informs you and teaches you, and you learn and you try and you experiment and you gradually get there.
Yep.
There's one more quadrant, which is bottom left, and that's called the chaos quadrant, and that is the realm of war zones and natural disasters.
Yep.
And so that's where I'm in a situation. And if I do nothing, something disastrous will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, I will die. I'll be shot by the enemy and die. Or this volcano lava will pour
it's
over
gonna,
me. And
yeah.
But I don't know enough to know what to do. And so your only choice in that circumstance is to just do something.
Yeah, to experiment.
Yeah. But it's like
yeah, but also you need more time to experiment.
Yeah, so in the complex domain, you're able to design a hypothesis.
Yeah.
So you go, what about this? And have a discussion about it. In chaos, in a war zone, you don't have time to do that.
Yes.
You've just got to make a decision and go.
Yeah.
And so you just go, right, let's go this way. Maybe we're going to go into enemy fire and die.
Yes.
But maybe we're not. And you go that way and you go, oh, shit. The enemy. And
that's right.
You've learned something.
Yeah.
And so you turn around. And so it's act first, think second.
Yes.
Whereas complex is think first and then act
second. Like it happens, like even on sets, sometimes you guys, like, I mean, doesn't matter us or other team, like they have a scene they're going to shoot this way.
Yep.
But for some reason they can't, they have to change it.
Yep.
So on the fly they have to
adjust. Yeah.
So that's what, like, you know, you're coming for, because that will be chaos. It's because already you had something in mind, but it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And then you have to decide, okay, should we do that or try something else?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
so it's kind of similar to that.
Similar, yeah. It really is the realm of life and death danger.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are plenty of circumstances where you go on set and you do something that you think will work. And it doesn't work, so you have to stop and try something else and experiment.
Yeah, like I work on the Fall Guy.
Yeah.
Because a lot of stunt driving, you know, it's a lot of risk involved.
Yes.
And a lot of calculation involved for the car going to jump, you know, from the ramp through the space shuttle.
Okay, cool.
So it was weeks of practicing jump, because they have built another ramp for the driver to practice.
Yeah.
And then, like, it weeks of practicing, doing that, organizing, all the safety, you know. And then, of course, they pulled it off, but just weeks of work.
To get there.
To get there.
So that I think is a really great example. The other one I think of is Mad Max Fury Road.
Yes.
Where, you know, they've got the guys on the big poles that bend down whilst their cars are driving along. And that, again, was the same thing. Like, they had this idea of maybe we could do that.
Yeah.
But they didn't know if they could.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
So they experimented. They had months and months of going, what is a safe way we can try this?
Yeah.
You know, let's, you know, I mean, it'd be like going, I need to jump the car through the space shuttle. Let's do a small jump first.
Yeah.
Now let's do a bigger one. Now let's do a bigger one.
Exactly.
And we're edging up. And it's like when you're doing stunts where safety is involved.
Exactly.
You are forced into that approach.
Yeah.
You have to do that. Because if you screw something up, you hurt somebody or you kill somebody.
Exactly, exactly. Exactly.
But if you really want to innovate in all areas, the trick here is to take that experimental thinking and go, how can we apply that in art department, in wardrobe, in camera department, in grip and lighting, all of it. And I do think that, you know, Oppenheimer is an amazing example of in-camera effects, which was camera department going, let's try stuff. You know, we've got this kind of vision of what we'd like the images to kind of look like, but we don't know how to do that, so we've got to start experimenting with something. And so,
experiment,
yeah.
Like same as the Fall Guy, like all the action stuff, say like 98%, I would say, were all camera in camera.
Wow. Cool. Like
few of course VFX, but
most
of them it was camera.
Yeah,
like one of the scariest one. This stunt guy, he did the free fall from the helicopter.
Oh wow!
Twice.
Wow.
Yeah, that was one of the, you know.
Yep.
I know the car is, of course, is dangerous as well. Yep. But the free fall is free fall.
That's
free
very fall. Dangerous. Yeah.
That's very dangerous. Yeah. So
there's a reason.
All day was just before they did anything, just
check and check. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I think there's a reason why we're not in the stunt department.
No. But that's the risk. That's like very, very like one of the biggest risk involved, you know? Like,
So let me take this idea of experiments and try and make it a little bit more practical. So imagine you're a line producer and you're looking at a script and you're going through line by line and you're budgeting.
Yes.
The tendency as a line producer is to assume everything is in the clear domain. You'll go to a DP or a stunt person or art department and go, how long will it take to do this?
Mm.
Or how much will it cost to build this thing?
Yes.
And if you are expecting to get the exact answer, that is exactly how much it will cost or how long it will take, and for that to be exactly it, by definition, you're playing it safe.
Yes.
Like if that's what you expect people to give you, the only way they can give you that sort of estimate is by playing it safe and going and taking no risks.
Yep.
So going, I can do it for this amount of money if we just do wide master, close up.
Yes.
You know, that sort of thing. Or art department going, well, we won't build anything.
Yes.
We'll just buy stuff off the shelf.
Off the shelf, yes.
Right. So immediately you've
reduced
forced
the cost. Yeah.
Well, you've got an answer on cost and time, but you have done that by chasing out any chance of innovation.
Yeah. You're playing safe.
Yeah. So a different question to ask is to go, if you were to, you know, go, you know, there's a thing that you want to achieve and we recognize that you don't know how to achieve it. How many experiments do you think you would need to run to be able to work it out?
It's a
different question.
That is a good, yeah.
And if you go, let's say you're a stunt department and you go, well, we think we need to iterate on this five times, and or we want to allow five times worth of iterations, mm-hmm. or maybe six times, and the kind of the setup for each of those is a week.
Yep.
There's a 6 week window.
Yes.
And that you can.
Yeah, exactly.
You can put a number on.
Exactly.
But what you realize, what you're recognizing there is that, you know, at the end of that 6 weeks, there's a range of outcomes that could occur. So one is we worked it out.
Yes.
And it's cool.
Yeah.
Another is we actually worked it out really quickly. And we went beyond that and we made it even better.
Yeah.
Or we worked it out quickly and we went, cool, and we moved on to something else.
Yes.
And we saved some money.
Exactly.
Or we invested time in a different thing and made that better when we hadn't intended to invest in that.
Exactly.
Thing.
Like, for example, recently we did the short film, The Bread.
Yep.
Was like stunt was involved.
Yes, lots of people fighting in the back of a van.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So actually, six weeks, but around that time, like that much time before we shooting, they were rehearsing.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
Because they did, like, because no one knows how, like, we had to choreograph.
Yep.
So they had to find the type of fight.
Yeah.
How it's gonna work in a van.
Yep.
You know, so they had to do that six weeks before.
Yeah.
So, because no one knows what they're going
to do. How to do it, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so that's like they had to come up or innovate that the fight scene and the choreographer in a safe way and then pull it off, you know. And then we did.
Cool. And I think that's a nice segue into the other point to make, which is that, like, production doesn't start on the first day of shooting.
Yeah.
Production starts before that when you're
pre-production.
We call it pre-production, but it really is like it's experimenting. It's not just planning. It's testing.
Yes.
Test.
Yes.
So, you know, you're the line producer, you're putting together the budget.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, an approach to create innovation is to go to your departments and go, how much time do you want for testing prior to shooting?
Mm.
And, you know, it might be a question of, if I give you more time to test before we produce, do you think we could shorten the shooting window?
Definitely.
I mean, maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
But sometimes
it will help.
Yeah. Yep. If we are, we've worked out how to do things.
Yeah.
So then when we go to the shoot, we're just executing what we now absolutely know works.
Yeah.
So in pre-production, we're in the complex domain.
Yes.
So that once we move to shooting, we're back in the clear domain.
Yes.
Because we know exactly what we're going to do.
I believe also the director is the main guy.
Yep.
He knows what shots he wants or what innovative shots he wants.
Hmm.
And then that's the director. It should come from the director, not the, in my opinion. Not line producer, I understand he's the money man or he's the budget guy. I understand, but because the director and DP has to do all of that and tell the line producer, okay, we need this much time.
Yeah.
Makes sense what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I think it does.
Because line producer doesn't know what they want to shoot, like what they want to achieve with scenes or the shots.
Yeah.
The breakdowns, you know?
Yeah.
That's my opinion. Yeah, like,
makes sense. So if I put it a slightly different way, the director is the owner of the overarching vision.
Yes.
So the director is the one that goes, this is the level of greatness that we want to achieve.
Yeah.
And the poor line producer is going, how much is this going to cost?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
But that vision then drives each of the individual departments to go, how do we... You know, how do we achieve that level of greatness? How do we deliver on that vision?
Yeah.
And as the line producer, you then go, well, if I want them to deliver on that vision, I need to create the space and time for them to run experiments.
Yes, right? exactly.
Because without that, all we are doing, I've said this before and I'm saying it again, is all we are doing is just reproducing what other people have done
before.
That's right. We're not doing anything new.
So
that's the first thing.
Yeah.
create that time.
For example, I was just listening another podcast, I should say, and they were interviewing DP. He did the Maestro.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And, yeah, like some of the scenes they had to, like they experiment 3 years before.
Wow, yeah.
Because they wanted everything on a in camera.
Yeah.
So okay. They had to experiment, you know, and then, yeah, and eventually they did experiment and then it worked out.
Yeah.
And then they did it, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody turns up on set and goes, oh, I've got a crazy idea for something that's never been done before.
Exactly.
Let's just do it.
Yeah.
It's
not like...
It is very, very rarely possible to...
Yeah.
To do that on the fly.
Exactly. Now, definitely, like, you know, certain things you have to experiment.
You have to create the space to do that.
Exactly.
Cool. So that was the first thing
that
I think you can do to create the environment for innovation. Here's the second thing, and this goes a little bit back to some of the stuff we've spoken about already. And what the second thing is so I think the best way to kind of explain this is to go like innovation is the implementation of ideas. It's creating ideas, it's finding solutions, it's problem solving, it's all that sort of stuff. And that happens at its fastest with a team of people.
Yes, 100%.
Right? It's rarely a case that you have a single person that locks themselves in the bathroom and sits there going, I need ideas, I need ideas. It goes, oh, I'm going to do, oh, yes, that's how I do it. I know that'll work. In reality, the way ideas come is people bouncing stuff off each other.
Exactly.
And there's a specific word for this that's often used, which is exaption.
Which
is a silly word, but it's and again, it's like really smart people using big words just to sound impressive. The idea is reasonably simple. Exaption is the radical reuse of something. So going, here's a thing that you know exists over here in this context.
Yes.
Let's take that and let's do that exact same thing or something very similar to that in a completely new
environment. Yeah.
And all of us have seen this before in every action disaster movie that's ever been made.
Yeah.
Just about. So you know the circumstance where you've got your heroes. They've gone into battle. They've been knocked down by the enemy. Yep. They're at the point of giving up. You know, the thing's going to explode. Everybody on Earth is going to die. Oh, my goodness, what can we do? And then somebody says, hang on, I've got a great idea. You know how this thing happens over in this situation.
Yes.
What if we were to take that and do that here in this situation, but 10 times bigger?
Yeah.
And they all go, that might just work.
Yeah.
And then they go, yeah, let's do it. And they do it and it works perfectly the first time. And everybody's saved.
Yeah.
So that's exaption.
Yes.
That is that exact thing. Now, in reality, it never works first time.
No.
But the idea and that process of going, what if? And that best occurs when you've got a team of people.
That's right. And then... Bouncing ideas,
yeah, who trust each other, who have a voice, who can challenge each other and go, no, what you're saying won't work.
Exactly.
I think we should do this. And the problem in film, and we've talked about this, is that so many times you go on set and you are working in a team for the first time.
That's right.
With a whole bunch of people that have never worked before, worked together before.
Exactly.
So the question then becomes is if you want that team to get to that place where they're really good at working with each other, where they have that open communication, where they bounce ideas, and they can come up with things, How do you get them to that point? Like, especially when...
Never work together.
When they've never worked together.
How
would you do that?
That's a good question, man. I believe, like, if you have a kind of system, like, in my opinion, so it will work. Because you tell them, okay, so maybe first you meet them before the shoot.
Yep.
You know, meet and greet, you know, so get together, chat, and talk about it, you know, what's going to happen.
Yep.
That will help.
Yep.
For the newcomers, you know. Once they work with you, they know exactly how you work.
Yep.
And then next time they get better and then better and better. That's my opinion. Like that will eventually, you know, it will you guys are like just everyone will be one.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. So the first thing,
like, for example, just very example. We've done like 3-4 projects now together.
Yep.
So the first time we met.
Yep.
And then now it's like just we know exactly how to work with each other.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're starting to form a type of permanent team.
Permanent team.
Like
exactly.
A long-lived team. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
because that takes time.
That absolutely takes time.
Yeah.
And this is what other industries have learnt, that to create innovative teams, you need to have teams that are long-lived.
Exactly. Something simple, like nothing to do, you know, with film, but even when I used to have cafes, or even I work in cafes.
Yep.
To adjust that environment takes 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Simply, like, doesn't matter what. When I was mechanic, same thing.
Yep.
When you go to a different
shop. Yep.
Takes 2 weeks to
learn where
settle
everything
down.
Is.
And then how would they work, you know, to get to know the team.
Yep.
Exactly the same thing with film.
Yeah, that's right. So I think the first idea you mentioned there is meet and greet.
Yes.
So, before a camera's pulled out of a case or anything, get everybody together to meet each other.
That's right.
Take them to the pub.
Pub and some drinks and then eat. Yeah.
Even better is spend time talking with each other, getting people talking with each other about how they're going to work together.
Yeah.
So having deliberate conversations around, you know, hey, these are the processes and standards that we want to use. And we kind of touched on that last week talking about flow.
Yes.
Then, you know, when you're in there, your processes for daily briefing, daily debrief to find ways to improve. They're all things that bring teams
together.
And help them click. And you will over time develop that trust.
Yeah, exactly.
The communication will flow more freely.
That's exactly right.
And that will become a team who starts to ideate and bounce ideas off each other.
Exactly.
Part of the trick here is the relationship between how fast something needs to happen.
Yep.
Versus giving people the time to have ideation conversations.
Yeah.
So if your schedule is so tight, I mean, you're the kid show. You're the execution.
You just got to push through.
Like that is just so bam, 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 go. Ideation doesn't occur.
Yes. Like for example, even for that, the costume, the kids they came with their costumes.
Their normal clothes, yeah.
Only they provide was like tie.
Yep.
And then like glasses and a few things like that, hats.
And that was it.
Like, that was it.
Yeah.
It's like not even, you know, no makeup.
Yeah.
You know. They did the producer, one of the producers or they had another person to help them, helping them out. Okay. So they did like small things like that.
Yeah.
But otherwise, like, no makeup, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Just,
so that was the difference, you know.
Yeah, that's right. So this, you know, if things are so pressed on set that you've just got to make decisions and move, you won't innovate. So again, this comes back to if I can create pre-production time for these teams,
yes,
that that allows for innovation to occur there mm-hmm. in an unpressured
yes.
space. But then when we go into shooting, you know, I need to create a schedule that has got that buffer contingency in there that allows innovation to occur.
Yes.
So the way I like to work is to go, you know, right, we've got this setup to do. Let's get in there. Let's yeah. be fast. Let's go boom, 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 and get it set up. But then, you know, let's say that takes half an hour.
Yeah.
Then if you've got another 15 minutes, that allows you to stop, step back,
yeah.
look at the screen. How does it look? That looks pretty good.
Mm.
What if? What if yeah. we added this? What if we did that? What if we – and then innovation is occurring.
Yeah.
Right?
And bouncing ideas.
Yeah. And, you know, 15 minutes is not a lot of time.
No.
Like that's still – but that's still plenty to exactly. go, let's just fiddle with that. Let's tweak yeah. it. And let's see what we can
how
do.
How it's going to work. And then,
Yeah. Let me check my notes.
So it's like even for, say, set designs, set designers,
yep.
you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes they have to build, say, whole apartment.
Yeah.
Or whole kitchen.
Yeah.
So they have to do it from scratch.
Yeah.
So they have to come up with the design.
Yeah.
How it's going to look. That's going to take weeks of work.
Yeah.
Because it's actually someone can live in it.
Yeah.
You know yeah, what I mean? Right. So that takes time. So they need that time to build that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's, again, they're innovating something for that specific yep. film.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you go on set. It's yes. set up.
Exactly.
You know, but you're still going, looking at the monitor going, okay, that frame's interesting. What if I move this way. Prop?
Yes.
What if I,
exactly.
you know, and especially if you can get to the point where you go, if I just move, let's say, here's a prop, if I just move that here and that, you know, not only go, oh, that looks better,
mm.
but sometimes there's something like that you can do which has tremendous story significance.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, man, that really just lifts the emotion of that particular moment.
Mm. Exactly.
And that's what every department needs.
That's right.
Just that little bit of breathing space to stop,
yep.
take a breath. And I often do that where I'm looking at the screen and I look around and I go,
yeah.
what do you guys think?
Yeah.
Has anybody got any ideas?
Yeah. Exactly.
Because you never know when somebody go, well, what about? And you go, holy heck, I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
That's
great.
That makes a huge difference. Yep. So, yeah. Cool. So, that's it. Let me summarize.
Yeah, sure,
Can I summarize?
Of course.
So we've talked about innovation.
Yes.
And we started off by talking about this spectrum
yep.
from execution
yes.
or speed through to innovation.
Yep.
And the first thing is decide which end you want to be at
yes.
and be at the ends. Yep. Don't be in the middle because middle exactly. is just what everybody else yes. is doing. We talked about that. Then we said there are two things that you can do to, like, if you want to be at this innovation end, there are two things you should concentrate on to create an environment where innovation can occur.
Yep.
So the first one is creating the time for experiments
yes.
to happen. Safe to fail. Let's try something that may not work.
Yep.
And see what we can stumble upon. Pre-production is the ideal place yeah, to do that.
Absolutely.
But we also talked about, you know, whilst you're shooting, having enough slack in the schedule to be able to get set up, take
and then
a breath.
Then look at it.
Yeah, stop.
And then bounce ideas fiddle, again.
Bounce ideas, yeah.
Yeah.
Then the second thing we talked about is that innovation occurs out of ideation, which is about teams bouncing ideas yes. off each other.
Yes.
And that only happens once a team has gotten to know each other
exactly.
and has worked together long yep. enough to be able to do that.
Yep.
And we talked about things like meet and greets,
yes.
Being, you know, daily briefings, daily kind of retrospective,
yep.
D debriefs, how can we improve, using those things to try and accelerate that. But even better, and we didn't really talk about that, but even better is, and this to me is a bit more of a big picture structural question for the whole industry.
Yep.
Is there ways we can create long-lived permanent teams?
Permanent teams, yeah. Yep.
If our goal here, if our vision here is to innovate, like is to punch our weight with Oppenheimer, with Barbie, with Everything Everywhere all at once.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
We can do that.
Yes.
But we can't do that in an environment which is just all about speed, and controlling the dollar. We can only do that when we have brilliant teams of people who have the space to experiment and try things.
Yeah, 100%.
But the payback for that is that we do create stuff
That
generates a far greater return than it otherwise would, because what we have created and what we've achieved is just of a far higher standard of creativity and brilliance than we otherwise would have.
100%. Yeah. It's all teamwork.
It is. Everything is teamwork.
Yeah, like 100%. Like once everyone is unified.
Yep.
And then they know exactly what to do.
Yep.
Once they know the script, okay, the camera department, art department, the sound, everyone knows what to do. And then everything goes very smoothly.
Everything goes well.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Exactly, man.
Awesome.
So we have to thank some people.
We do.
Our friends. David, thank you so much for doing the sound for us. And our DP, Mr. Nick. Thanks, man.
Mr. Ian.
Sorry, again, Mr. Ian. I'm sorry, I'm tired. Thank you, man. Thanks, Ian. Appreciate it. Cool. So we're missing a few team members today, but I'm sure they will be with us next time. But thanks so much, guys.
Yeah, cheers.
Thank you, Nick.
My pleasure. Thank you, George. So in our next episode, we will talk about estimation. I guarantee it.
Yeah. Estimation,
I know we will. And in the meantime, if you are enjoying what we're talking about and you're finding it helpful, please share it with other people, because I know that some of what we've talked about, particularly today, has been we've touched on, hey, what are some things we can do to really change the whole industry?
Yes.
How can we get better at an industry level? And George and I can't do that ourselves.
Yeah.
But if we, not just us, but all of us, start talking about some of these ideas, then stuff can happen. And so, so please share. Remember, we are on Instagram at Life on the Film Set. We are on Facebook at Life on the Film Set. We're on YouTube,
Life on the Film Set.
and we're on the web at
www.lifeonthefilmset.com.
So, please check those out if you haven't. And
leave us some feedback so we can go through as well. And then.
Yeah, definitely. Because, very keen to talk to anybody about any ideas. Or think further input you might have to these discussions. So cheers.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week.
See ya.